Football Extra with Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome to FNR Football Nation Radio for another week of NPL Mondays here with Athos Syrianos and a brand new time slot on a 6 p.m. on a Monday where you can get all your NPL coverage. And joining me, not just for this week, but from now on, is a very special guest, the armchair critic, Nick D'Urbano. Nick, thank you very much for joining me. It's great having someone else on.
So we've finally heard this intro that you've been speaking about for so long. Hey, not bad. But I'm pleasure to be here today to talk all things NPL. And it's been a very interesting week all around, not just in Victoria, but also we're around the country.
It sure has. And we've got Demid Kulash coming on later on from the Corner Flag to discuss everything NPL Victoria. And we've got Michael Flynn from Football Click from to talk NPL Queensland, as well as one of the regulars in Angela Basic from the women's game. But first, we're going to cross over to South Australia, where we've got Rob Greenwood from The Advertiser on the line. Rob, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Well, it was a pretty hectic week over in South Australia. And, you know, I think one of the games that epitomised that was the Sturt Lions Adelaide United 3-3 game. This game really had it all. It was very much a game of two halves. Did you happen to catch this game?
Yeah, I didn't actually get out to the game live, but I saw some of the live stream and the highlights of the game, and there were certainly plenty of them, as you said. Sturt Lions, who entered the match in the relegation zone, I think actually sitting bottom of the table, 3-0 up at half-time, absolutely flying against Adelaide United's youth team, all set for a massive 3 points, which would have done them a lot of favours in terms of their fight to stay up. But, the Young Reds absolutely roared back second half. A goal early in the second half by Carlo Armiento, very promising young striker with Adelaide United. Same player scored again 4 minutes later, and just on the hour mark, Ninko Peric levelled up the game at 3-3. And from what I saw, the last half hour was all Adelaide United, and in a funny way, they'd probably be kicking themselves because they had enough chances to win it. So probably a fair result in the end, but yeah, certainly it's a game of two halves.
Yeah, and I think Berwick, they had a chance late in the game to even steal the points for Adelaide.
Yeah, as I said, he had a really good opportunity. I think he had two or three other ones as well. And the Young Reds, as we've spoken about on this show previously, doing really well this season, currently sitting fifth on the table. They've managed to stay in the top flight the past couple of seasons, pretty much by the skin of their teeth, only sort of avoiding relegation narrowly on the last day of the season last year. But look, they've surprised everyone this year. There's a really good crop of young talent coming through Adelaide United, and they did quite well in the National Youth League over the summer, and they've kept the bulk of that team together. So probably from 3-0 down, you have to be happy with it. They're getting a point. So as you said, on the balance of play in that last half hour, easily had enough points to probably take all three.
Now, Rob, it's Nick here. I'd look a quick look at the game between Campbelltown and Metro Stars. And Campbelltown got a big win, a 2-1 win, especially very important in the race for that top position. Did you manage to catch much of that one as well?
Yeah, that was probably the match of the weekend heading into it. It was first against second. Metro Stars were actually on a 10-match winning streak, believe it or not, heading into that, and had moved 5 points clear of Campbelltown at the top of the table. Funnily enough, the only loss Metro Stars had had this season was in round one against Campbelltown City. Sure enough, 10 or 11 weeks later, their second loss of the season also came at the hands of the Red Devils. So, a couple of early goals for Campbelltown, who were playing at home. Alex Mullen scored a header from a corner 10 minutes in. A couple of minutes later, Dion Kirk doubled the lead for Campbelltown. So they got off to an absolute flyer. But Christian Esposito, one of the form attackers, form strikers of the competition over here in SA, he pulled one back for Metro Stars halfway through the first half. And it was a fantastic clash between two real high-quality sides. Both had plenty of chances in the end to sneak another goal. But Campbelltown held on and won the match 2-1. That's actually moved them, I think, 2 points behind Metro Stars at the top of the table. So, it was certainly tightening things up. That was round 12, so we've got Yeah, about 10 matches to go, I think, in the regular season. So, yeah, certainly tying things up. And, you know, even if it stays like that heading into the finals, the fact that Metro Stars' only two losses this season have come at the hands of Campbelltown certainly gives the Red Devils, I think, a bit of a psychological edge heading into the finals.
And that's really interesting as well, especially considering how Metro Stars went on this massive run. Is that due to the matchups? Does Campbelltown just maybe match up better against Metro Stars than what they do against other sides?
Yeah, Campbelltown's an interesting one. I mean, over the past few years, they've been obviously a very strong club, even going back further, I guess, here in South Australia. They had a really disappointing season last year, missed out in the finals. I think they finished eighth. But look, they've got a fantastic coach in Joe Mullen, the former Adelaide City great, a fantastic midfielder who picked up a couple of Socceroos caps back in the 80s and was part of some of those wonderful Adelaide City side that sort of swept all before them in the old NSL. So, look, they've got a fantastic coach in Joe. They've got a really talented squad with a lot of depth out there, a lot of pace going forward as well. So, look, hard to say. Metro Stars are obviously a quality side. You don't win 10 games straight if you're not that in a tough competition like the MPLSA. But, yeah, look, it certainly looks that way, that Campbelltown seem to have a bit of an edge. And, look, certainly on what we've seen this season, they're right up there as the two sort of premier sides in the competition. And, you know, at this stage, we'd be expecting them to go head-to-head again in the finals and potentially, you know, in the grand final, I would say.
You're listening to MPL Extra with Athos Syrianos and Nick DiBarno. We're joined by Rob Greenwood from The Advertiser. Now, Rob, one of the big news coming out from all the youth contingency of MPL South Australia was Joe Gorchy having a trial with the Central Coast Mariners. Is he the one that's really leading the charge of the youth players coming out of South Australia at the moment?
Yeah, look, he's certainly one of many talented young players here. Another young player who was also on trial up at Central Coast was Louis Detroyer, who's actually a player who plays for Campbelltown, the side we were just talking about. So, yeah, look, it's there's certainly a lot of talent. We spoke before about the Adelaide United Youth team that obviously has snapped up, I guess, a lot of these quality young players. But look, there's certainly a lot of them outside of the Reds that, yeah, that have got a lot of ability. And, you know, I guess as a South Australian, we'd like to see them they're going to line up in the A-League and get a chance in the A-League to be playing for Adelaide United. But, you know, I guess each club only has so many spots. And, you know, if these guys have to go into state to get their chance at a National League level, then so be it. And, yeah, look, there's a couple of guys we just mentioned there. Yeah, obviously had a bit of an opportunity with Central Coast Mariners. And I think those guys have got to take that opportunity. And there's plenty of other young players here in South Australia that have that ability to step up. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more get a look in with either Adelaide United or an interstate sort of A-League club in this off-season.
And it's quite remarkable considering he's only 17 years old and playing in almost like a key position as a goalkeeper. Back to the league table, and Adelaide City are another side that, you know, continue to score lots and lots of goals. In the grand scheme of things, in comparison with Metro Stars and Campbelltown, where do they sit?
Yeah, well, I guess as you say, on the league table, in terms of points, they're 1 point behind Campbelltown now, so really tightening up that top three. Year in, year out, they're the consistent side. You know, we sort of have the likes of Campbelltown up there some seasons. Croydon have been up there, but they'll often have a good season and then maybe a bad season. Adelaide City season in, season out under, obviously, Damien Morey, former Adelaide City great and Socceroos great. Really consistent side. They had another solid 2-0 win over South Adelaide on the weekend. They've probably dropped a few games this season they would be a little bit disappointed with. But look, they've got an awful lot of depth up there. One of the goal scorers in that game over South Adelaide, Mamadi Kamara, is a really exciting talent. He's a winger, very fast, very skillful, a really good eye for goal, quite unselfish, so sets up a lot of his teammates. He's a really exciting talent. And, look, again, I would expect Adelaide City to be right up there come the end of the season. And, you know, there's only sort of 3 points, I guess, in it between the top three clubs now. So certainly they get on a bit of a run. I could easily see them finish top. And the big game coming up this weekend is actually Adelaide City at home to Campbelltown City. So that's going to be a huge one, second playing third. So, look, I certainly expect, Damien Morey's boys to be up there come the end of the season.
Now, Rob, bit of an interesting scenario happening for Croydon Kings at the moment. They lost 1-0 to Parra on the weekend. Now, they won the title last season, and they're still mathematically alive, obviously, to still win the title, still to make the finals, but it's going to be a very much an uphill battle, as we can see on the standings. But what's happened to Croydon over this first part of the season? Is it just a case of, obviously, not being as active in the transfer window, or was it more a bit of luck last year in them winning the title?
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of a funny one. They're a sort of stable club. Mark Rosale, their coach, has been out there for a good number of years. He's won two titles, I think, in the past three, five seasons, and they've won a FFA Cup here in South Australia and played in the national round of 32. So, look, he's done amazing things there at the club. It looks certainly a disappointing start to the season. They're sitting, I think it's about eighth on the table after that loss to Parra Hills at the weekend. So certainly not the start to the season they would have been looking for. Having said that, last season, they actually had a bit of a patchy start to the season as well. Maybe not as slow as this year so far. But this time of the year, last season, my memory serves me correct, they certainly weren't towards the top of the table. They came home with a real wet sail. I think they might have won five or six of their last regular season games, came into the finals in red hot form, won three matches straight, got to the grand final and beat Adelaide City and won the title. So, look, they're a club I've certainly learned over the years never to write off. Obviously, they need to start getting a few more wins on the board and a little bit more consistency, but it's very, very tight through that middle part of the table. You've probably got the top three or four clubs that have a little bit of a buffer, but through that middle part, any side that strings together two or three wins is moving pretty much into the finals position. So, look, I certainly wouldn't rule Croydon out. But as you say, yeah, it was a disappointing result for them on the weekend. They've actually got a big game coming up on Wednesday night here. It's the Tuesday and Wednesday night is the semi-finals of our South Australian leg of the FFA Cup. So they're actually playing a state league side in Modbury Jets, so second tier side on Wednesday night, obviously playing for a spot in the cup final. So while their league form hasn't been great, they've been doing pretty well in the cup. So let's hope it's not a distraction for them, and maybe some of that cup form can rub off into their league form.
And Rob, who's the other semi-final that will feed into that final?
Yep, so the other semi-final is Adelaide Comets, and they are up against Cumberland United. And that's actually another Adelaide Comets, another NPLSA side. And funnily enough, Cumberland United, actually another State League One side, so another second-tier side. So on paper, we could actually have, theoretically, I guess, an all-second-tier cup final coming up in a few weeks' time. But, going, I guess, Croydon and Adelaide Comets, respectively, are probably the two favourites in those two semi-finals.
Well, there you go. So a big weekend of South Australian football, and I think that'll be a capped off next week. We've got some big games. The Comets finish off the round against Adelaide United. It's the fourth versus fifth. A game that we'll probably find out a lot about both sides there. Are the Comets another one of those teams that could come home with a wet sail? And, they're not completely out of touch with the top three.
No, they're not. They're probably, as I said before, the top four clubs, the three we mentioned before in Campbelltown, Metro Stars and Adelaide City. And Comets is probably the fourth one I'd throw into that mix, as probably being a little bit ahead of the rest of the clubs. They were quite busy in the transfer market in the off-season. And Theo Souness, the coach out there, has really assembled a strong squad with a lot of depth. But again, on the weekend, they just dropped a couple of points that were a little bit disappointing against West Torrens for Keller, who had previously been sitting bottom of the table up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But they've gone on a great run, a four-match unbeaten streak, to actually push up to seventh in the table. But yeah, they fell behind early to a David Zerillo goal, and actually needed a penalty from Alan Welsh in the second half to salvage a point there against Berkala. So it was probably a couple of points they wouldn't have been expecting to drop. And Comets on the day have got enough talent to beat anyone, but probably have just lacked a little bit of consistency and have squandered a few games here and there where they probably shouldn't have. But look, they're in the semi-finals of the Cup. They're favourites probably to get through there. They're still in a good position, and it'll be an interesting test against Adelaide United this coming weekend in the league as well.
Now, Rob, one more game before we let you go that I quickly want to touch on is the Campbelltown v Adelaide City game this weekend, second versus third on Saturday at 3 p.m. Our time, 2:30 over in South Australia. But a massive game considering Metro Stars obviously did drop points last week. week. And the winner really stays in touch. The loser, not so much, depending on what happens with Metro Stars. What can we expect from that one? Obviously, Adelaide City are the home side. Are they going in as the favourites?
Yeah, look, as I mentioned before, I think that's going to be an absolute cracker. I think it's one of those matches that you've got two top-notch sides going head-to-head. Adelaide City home ground advantage probably counts for a little bit. Geographically here in Adelaide, there's two clubs not separated by a great distance. I would say it's probably only about a 15 or so minute drive between the two grounds, so not a huge road trip for Campbelltown heading up there to Adelaide City Park. A really tough one to call. Obviously, both sides coming in off good wins, both sides separated by points. They're sitting second and third on the table, and I think it's going to be another great advertisement for the game here in South Australia. And we've got a lot of top quality players on show, and we were talking before about the A-League clubs having a look at South Australian players. Well, as much as we don't want to see them leave Adelaide, I think if A-League scouts are looking at any South Australian players, a match like this would be one to look at, because both sides are full of plenty of players that have the ability to step up to National League. Plenty of guys that have had a little bit of a taste of National Youth League over the years. And I think it's a tough one to call. If I had to predict, I'd probably sit on the fence and be really boring and say it'll probably be a draw. But certainly going to be a cracking contest between those two sides.
Well, it certainly is the match of the round, and that kicks off 3 p.m. on Saturday, as Nick said. Rob, thank you very much for joining us tonight on the NPL show, and we look forward to speaking to you in the future.
No worries again, guys. My pleasure.
All good. That was Rob Greenwood from The Advertiser giving us all the latest on the NPL competition over in South Australia. We're going to take a short break, and on the other side, we're going to speak to Damid Kulash about everything NPL Victoria. You're listening to NPL Extra with Athos Syrianos and Nick Debano.
Football Extra with Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24/7 on the station which never sleeps. Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio. You're listening to NPL Extra on our brand new time slot on 6 p.m. on a Monday with Athos Syrianos and Nick Debano. We just spoke to Rob Greenwood from The Advertiser about everything NPL South Australia, and there's a massive game this Saturday between the second place Campbelltown City and Adelaide City in third. But right now we're going to cross over to Damid Kulash from the Corner Flag and one of our own here on FNR, the co-host of Mundial Memories, to chat everything NPL Victoria. Damid, welcome to the show.
All right, thanks for having me, boys.
All good. And we should probably start with the match of the round, which was Bentley being knocked off for the first time this season against Port Melbourne. Akonagaya hat-trick proved to be the difference in the end.
Yeah, and dare I say, the upset of the season so far. Akonagaya came into the league as a bit of an unheralded signing. Certainly, when you look at his pedigree and the quality that he brings to that Port Melbourne team, he's a player that has the potential to do what he did on Friday night. And he certainly punished the Greens for allowing him the space, time and opportunities to score goals. We saw a bit of him, Victorian audiences did, in Blacktown City's FA Cup run the quarterfinals of last season's competition. And he's certainly a player that, dare I say, if he was maybe a naturalised Aussie at this stage, some A-League clubs might look at him. But also a good performance in midfield by Daniel Clark, who got Port Melbourne first on the evening. He was actually very close to joining the Bentley Greens in pre-season, but it wasn't to be, and Port Melbourne have benefited.
So, Damid, set the scene. I think Bentley Greens did score late in the game to get it back to 4-3, so it must have been a frantic finish to see off this one.
Yeah, with Bentley, they're always guaranteed goals, but I suppose what's been a very efficient for them and impressive at the start of this campaign has been how defensively solid they've been. Young Charlie Fry has done an outstanding job, the teenager, and he's one player that's really one to watch in Wednesday night's game against Kingston with the all-important FA Cup Round 7 tie. And Jack Webster as well, who's probably one of the best, if not the best defender outside the A-League. However, Port Melbourne took their opportunities, and we've seen that they're capable of punishing teams in attack. They beat Bulleen Lions 5-1 a few weeks back at the Veneto Club on Monday night. So when they're on their game, Port Melbourne, they certainly like to score not just one, but a few of them.
You're listening to the NPL show with Athos Syrianos and Nick Dabano. We're joined by the corner flag and FNR's own co-host of Mundial Memories, Damid Kulash, to talk all things NPL Victoria. And Damid, South Melbourne and Avondale played out quite an intriguing game yesterday at Lakeside, and Avondale got a 3-0 win. Liam Boland scored one of the great NPL goals. Very ambitious considering the goalkeeper was not necessarily off his line, but scored two goals in 5 minutes. What set us the scene what happened down at Lakeside yesterday, because Avondale really just blitzed them in the second half.
Yeah, and Avondale were up 1-0 from half time. Stefan Zinni, the ex-South Melbourne man who's had a long association with that club, who spent pretty much his entire junior career at South Melbourne, he got his first goal for Avondale against his former employees. And then, of course, Liam Boland, well, we know he's got form when it comes to scoring long-range goals from the centre of the field, given what he did in the FA Cup a few years ago, and the Central Coast Mariners can attest to that. But yeah, certainly he produced a performance that was really needed of him yesterday, because Kane Shepherd, their leading goal scorer, was out, and also Joey Katapian is also out injured. So with both those players missing, Liam Boland was the lone man up front, and he certainly scored an absolutely unbelievable strike just inside his own half. And also, Jared Tyson, look, sometimes it's easy to blame goalkeepers in that situation. I guess he was at fault, but at the end of the day, Liam Boland didn't have the too much space to really choose from, so it was a real precision finish from him.
Now, Damid, South Melbourne signed, actually made a new signing literally just before we went on air, and it was Ndumba Makeche signing, obviously a former Perth Glory player. You know much about Makeche and what he will bring to South Melbourne?
Yeah, so Makeche is formerly of the Perth Glory, as you mentioned. He made a handful of appearances for their senior side in the early parts of the decade. Born in Zambia, he's spent the last few years playing in both Malaysia and Indonesia, and he's obviously been quite prolific over there. He came close to joining, from what I understand, the Oakley Cannons in 2013, once he was released from the Glory, but that wasn't to be. And also last year, I know there were some clubs in the NPL inquiring about his services, but with Milos Lujic, their top goal scorer and four-time Golden Boot winner in Victorian football, suspended at the moment, and also, to my understanding, he'll be attending the World Cup next month. He's going to obviously be absent for a large chunk of the next couple of months, so they really needed to stockpile in that department, given the fact that they haven't been the most prolific of teams early on this campaign.
And I'm sure we could talk about South Melbourne all night, but I think from what I've seen, a lot of the fans, they weren't happy with, I think, the attitude of the South players as soon as they conceded. We've seen them concede quite heavily at home. Is it something that you know, the fans should be concerned about, the fact that, you know, the South players perhaps maybe drop their heads when they concede?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's not the first time this year that they have bowed out to a heavy defeat. And also at home, you look at their last game before yesterday at home. It was a 3-0 defeat to Green Gully. Similar circumstances. They were second best. And I mean, the squad has been tested this year through injuries, suspension and loss of form. And at the moment, it's not responding. You would have thought that after last week's 2-0 victory over Kingston, after they made a real lightning start to that contest, that they would maybe build on some momentum from that game. But it just wasn't to be. And they do have a general meeting called for tomorrow night with their supporters. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that.
Damid, obviously, interesting scenes up in Green Gully at the moment. Now, they've lost two on the bounce and a loss to Hume, who it got a massive win for them. They're looking to try and get themselves back into the hunt to stay up. Is everything starting to lose a bit of touch there with Green Gully, with the top three? Obviously, Heidelberg have those two games in hand. Avondale just keep winning, and Bentley did just drop their first points. But are Green Gully starting to just separate themselves a little bit from the pack?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. You know, going into the season, Green Gully was tipped to be one of the teams that could potentially challenge the likes of Heidelberg and Bentley, but it hasn't been the case at all. And when they've come up against these teams, they've been second best, and second best by some distance. So losing at home to Hume City, their second consecutive home loss after what losing to Heidelberg United the week before, is not good, particularly given the fact that this team is out of the FA Cup as well. To my understanding, some players are on the outer in terms of haven't been playing too much this year and will be making moves in the mid-season transfer window. Others have performed exceptionally well. You look at guys like Nick Kucharadis, Kieran Dover, and also Josh Barresi, who's been very impressive for them since coming back from a long-term knee injury that ruled him out for the entirety of the 2017 season. But as a whole, they seem quite disjointed at the moment.
And, you know, Green Gully dropping points. I mean, of course, it'll be quite extraordinary to see them drop out of that top six. But them dropping, especially the last two games, really opens the door for sides like Pascoe Vale and even Port Melbourne, Oakley and Dandenong, who have really come alive in this stage of the season.
Yeah, you look at a team like Pascoe Vale, got a late winner against Oakley on Friday night, thanks to Lucas Antilli. Port Melbourne, if they can strengthen their squad a bit in the mid-season transfer window, add a couple more names, because they have been tested at times, particularly defensively this year. There's no reason why they shouldn't be looking for a top six place. And also, you never know if teams like Dandenong Thunder, Northcote City, Melbourne Knights, Oakley Cannons can get themselves onto a run while they're into that top six picture as well.
And we must not forget Heidelberg, one of the teams you mentioned there. We saw their depth really put on display there. Is their depth probably the best in the league? And, you know, can they be stopped once they get everyone back?
Yeah, because their depth has obviously been tested in the recent weeks with the likes of Sean Ellis, Harry Noon injured, Petrie has been suspended, Cahill only returned from injury this week. And so, you know, George Koutsakis has had to make his way through a difficult period, particularly, you know, a lot of tough fixtures as well. But they've done quite well, and they were, again, very impressive on the weekend against Kingston. What helps them is that they've got a squad that's, you know, played with one another for a number of years, far a few additions that they have made over the last 18 months, but additions that have settled into the squad quite well. And it'll be interesting to see in the mid-season transfer window whether they do strengthen, because obviously, you know, Ellis still hasn't returned. Govas, to my understanding, is a season-ending injury. So, you know, if they can maybe get one or two more players, they should also leave themselves in good stead for an FA Cup run, a deep FA Cup run, which we've seen from them in previous seasons.
And Heidelberg did defeat Kingston 6-1 there at Olympic Village. And it's bad enough that George Koutsakis has selection headaches to worry about. And he's also probably got the headaches as to who takes the penalties now, as we saw Chris Theodorides scored a second penalty of the season. Is there any chance he could be upgraded to free kicks in the coming weeks?
Well, if he was to be, he'd be certainly channeling Chilavert, the ex-Paraguayan goalkeeper. But it'll be interesting to see when Sean Ellis does come back, who will be taking the penalties, because I think Tom Cahill would have been another name that fancies himself from the 11-metre mark, who had to make way for Theodorides on the weekend. So as long as he keeps scoring him, I see no reason why he shouldn't relinquish that tag.
Now, David, before we let you go, Northcote got an incredible win. They were down 2-1 with only minutes to go, and they got that 90th minute winner, really, through Jerry Siliados right at the end. Northcote's starting to build up a little bit of a run at the moment. They're out of the bottom three. They're looking good to stay up this season.
At the moment, yes. And what's been most impressive is that over the course of the season, they have been improving. You know, you looked at their team going into the season, they had a lot of young players, a lot of inexperienced players, not a lot of players that have been, you know, season campaigners in the NPL Victoria, in the top flight, that is. But certainly, they are making improvements with each week. And that's a huge testament to the squad of players that they also have, but also their coaching staff, Eric Fasciadis, who, of course, had a difficult short stint as Melbourne Knights coach last year, but he's rebounded and done exceptionally well so far. When you look at also their team, Charlie Beverley has really been quite surprising in the fact that, you know, he's a central defender, but he's got 6 goals to his name already this season. He's got a double on the weekend. And when you look at the two youngsters, Salido's got the winner. He's been really impressive. And Lucas Derrick himself, who is, I think, netted 3 goals. He's, what, only 19. He was part of the same Joey's team that competed at the Under-17 World Cup in Chile 3 years ago alongside Daniel Arzani. And it's always quite interesting to see when players drop out of the system, how they respond when they're put into NPL surroundings. And Lucas Derrick has done exceptionally well, in my opinion.
Now, Damid, we must thank you very much for joining us here on the NPL show here on a Monday night and giving us a full insight into everything that's going on in the, obviously, in Victoria at the moment. And thank you once again.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
No worries. Good night. That was Damid Kulash, the host of co-host of Mundial Memories every Tuesday night with Josh Parrish, Dante Jukic, and also works for the Corner Flag. He's always all over everything in NPL Victoria, and he gave us a fantastic insight into a very exciting weekend of football.
That's absolutely correct. And the Victorian competition, you know, it's always got lots of talking points, especially when South Melbourne is involved. But as for now, we're going to take a short break, and on the other side, we're going to head over the east coast, over to Queensland, where we've got Michael Flynn and Angela Basic waiting for us. It's the NPL Extra with Athos Syrianos and Nick Tabano. Back soon.
Football Extra with Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to NPL Extra on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Well, we're going to start our trip up the East Coast right now. We've got Michael Flynn from Football Click to discuss everything NPL Queensland. Michael, it's been a while, but thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure to be here, boys.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Well, we'll start with SWQ Thunder. They had a bit of an upset, defeating Brisbane Roar, their under-21 side, 4-0. It's their first win in a while, and Brisbane, of course, have lost 3 on the trot. Tell us about this game.
Oh, mate, it was actually, you're calling it upset, but it's quite a funny one. The Roar have just got a shocking record up in Toowoomba. It's the third year in a row they've dropped the points up there, which, you know, look, no disrespect to Thunder, but most teams go up there expecting to at least get something out of it. So, you know, Thunder have been scoring goals this year. The problem's been the defence. But, look, they've shut out the young Roar there. 4 goals. Anthony Grant led the scorers there with a couple. And it's a really good result for Thunder because last week they dropped into the relegation zone, and this was one they really needed to win, and they've done it. So, yep, they've moved themselves out of danger for another couple of weeks.
And the Thunder, you know, they, like you said, they defensively probably haven't been that good. What's that come down to?
It's always hard to say, mate. I think one of the key issues with the Thunder has always been they've always been a young team. That definitely comes into play, as well as the fact that they have to travel so often. You know, every game for them is a fair trek out of Toowoomba. I think that has its wear and tear over a season. But look, I mean, if they can use this to build on, then maybe that could be a thing of the past. They're not quite as in their first couple of seasons, it was always quite quite a soft touch, to be honest. And they have been improving on that. So we'll see if they can steel it up a little bit.
And, of course, that was the third consecutive loss for Brisbane Roar, their under-21 side. Is that just maybe a sense of fatigue coming in for the young players?
Look, I think in terms of... It's a tough one, mate. I mean, obviously, they're constantly changing. There is a bit of fatigue issues with some of the younger players in that we're in that time of year where we have the private school football happening. There's a few boys around the place who are, you know, working in those sorts of sectors as well in such a young team. So they're probably training a little bit more than they usually did and playing a couple more games. Perhaps that's coming into it. But ultimately, it's boys against men, mate. You know, that's what always happens with the young Roar. They usually start pretty bright because they have the full summer to prepare through NYL, where the semi-pro part-timers don't. But usually it catches up with them because greater experience is what gets you through these games in the middle of the season generally.
Michael, it's Nick here, and Olympic FC got a big 5-2 win over the Magpies. The Magpies, who have struggled this year, they're down near the bottom. They had the game at 2-2. They really put on a show in the second half, Olympic. Take us through that one.
Yeah, well, Olympic, they met them earlier in the year in the Magpies' first game of the season and gave them a bit of a 6-2 touch-up. So I think that was a bit of a point to prove there for the Mackay boys. And to be honest, they're sitting a bit low on the table, but it's just not going their way. Out of the teams that are struggling, they do seem to be the one with the most potential. Just hasn't quite gelled for them yet quite this year, but... You know, Olympic, they had a lot of chances early on, probably didn't put away as many as they should have, which, you know, gave the Mackay boys a bit of a sniff, who, you know, they might have had four, maybe five decent chances, put two of them away. Olympic maybe had 8, 10 and only put two away. So that was really the difference. And at the end, the greater experience of the Olympic boys really shone through. I mean, 3 goals in the final quarter hour, they just ran over the top of them. Always helps with a bit of a home crowd support and... Yeah, they did the job, so it's on to next week for Olympic.
And in terms of that top half of the table, I mean, we're seeing that top five really sort of breaking away into their own little faction there. But in terms of the top four, who do you see out of Moreton Bay, Brisbane Strikers and Queensland Lions? Who do you see the one that misses out?
Mate, if you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would have said Moreton Bay. But I tell you what, they've steadied the ship a little bit. They had a couple of shaky results. You know, they were held to a draw up in Toowoomba, which wasn't the greatest result for them, but you know they're now stringing it together, and they've got the best run of form at the moment in terms of results in the past 5 weeks of any team in the comp. So it's a really tough call. If I had to really split hairs on it, I might say Moreton Bay might still fall out of that top four, but honestly, it's going to be a very, very tight run thing. But we'll have a better look at it this weekend because all top six teams play against each other. So that's a bit of a good scheduling quirk this weekend.
Now, Michael, I'm just having a look at the fixture for next week. An Olympic FC and Western Pride playoff in a huge game. And Western Pride did get that big win over Brisbane Strikers. It was only a 1-0 win, but 3 points are still valuable at this point of the season. Olympic, Western Pride, who's looking like the goods for this one?
Mate, I've got to back Olympic. They got them in the first game earlier this year when they played, very early in the season, mind you, and it was a tight run thing. But Western Pride, I mean, part of their success this year has really come from Dylan Wenzel-Halls, the striker, who's now been picked up by Brisbane Roar. And you could tell it affected them a little bit with his departure. They dropped out of the FFA Cup, then they lost to Brisbane City. So they seem to have lost that rampant goal-scoring outlet at the top of the formation. I mean, they've still got Joe Duckworth up there, scored on the weekend, and Andy Pengelly, you know, some good little players. But they're not... Yeah, they're not 23 goal a season type players, which is what Wenzel-Halls did in half a season. So I think that'll probably count against them. Olympic are going to be very, very fired up. Olympic want this title. There's no doubt about that. And to be honest, they probably spent the money for their fans to demand no less this season. So I would say Olympic at home against the Pride will probably pick up the chocolates. And yeah, that's going to be a massive result if they can for their premiership hopes.
You're listening to NPL Extra with Athos Syrianos and Nick Debiner. We've got Michael Flynn from Football Click up in Queensland. And the team that makes up that top six, that final team, is Brisbane City. They're currently, 6 points off the Strikers in fourth. They are also one of the informed teams in the competition. They've won 4 straight. And they come up against, as we mentioned before, the other informed side in Moreton Bay. Where do you see this match going, Michael?
It's going to be a very, very interesting one. Brisbane City, slow start to the season, to be honest. Didn't really have the most experienced squad compared to some of the other teams who are in that top four. Can they do it against Moreton Bay? Well, there's nothing to say they can't do it. Moreton Bay, I think, probably the stronger team on paper. And in terms of results, I think Moreton Bay have been a bit more consistent throughout the year. Will that tell in the final reckoning? It's going to be interesting. I mean, Moreton Bay still not keeping enough clean sheets for mine to be a genuine top three type team, where Brisbane City they've tightened it up a little bit in recent weeks. So it's no small task to keep Queensland Lions, keeping the Lions there scoreless on the weekend. But yeah, I would have to back Moreton Bay in that one, mate. Just a bit more experience in some key positions and some dynamic players. I think it'll prove telling in the end.
And just on Moreton Bay, is it just that bit of polish which is preventing them from really stepping it up to Western Pride and Olympic FC, or are they thereabouts? Are they ready to challenge?
Well, they put themselves in a position to challenge now. I mean, they're only, you know, they're 6 points away from top spot with those games against Pride and Olympic to play. So I mean, if they can defeat them, then they're definitely well and truly in the mix. The lack of polish, I don't know. I think it's more of a... could just be one of those things. Sometimes things go for you, sometimes things go against you. They haven't had any really what you would call emphatic wins. None of these sort of 7-8 nils that we've seen some other teams putting together, which maybe suggests a little bit of difficulty with the finishing. They did start the season with a 6-goal flurry, but since then it seems the goals are a little bit tighter to come across. So yeah, it could be just the way they're setting up. It could just be a lack of a genuine out-and-out star number 9, but they're getting the results, and that's really all you can do at this stage. I think sometimes we get a bit carried away when certain teams might, you know, score a big score. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of factors that come into these sorts of things at this level. You know, scheduling's a massive part of it as well, with the way that the competition works up here.
Now, Michael, we on the F&R Review Show every Sunday always talk a little bit about... we've sort of adopted Sunshine Coast as a team that we keep an eye on every week, because remarkably they've conceded 71 goals in 14 games. Is there any hope at the end of the tunnel for the Sunshine Coast? They did lose 4-1 against North Queensland and face Cairns this weekend coming. Can they avoid the drop?
Well, mathematically they can. Logically... it's going to be a tough one for them. They have turned things around a little bit in recent weeks. They got a new coach in. They're still in the hunt there for the FFA Cup, which is a bit of an interesting anomaly for a team that's doing so poorly in the league. You know, if they can get some points, they would have been really disappointed not getting the points against North Queensland. That was one that was definitely winnable for them. They've now got these games coming up with the teams just above them. I think Cairns you would include in that list of teams that are beatable. If they can get some results out of those, especially with some home ground advantage, it could really go their way. They've got Cairns down here at the Sunny Coast. They've got Magpies coming down here as well. That's going to help them. Whether they can turn that into the points, it's going to be very, very tight. I mean, 2 wins, and all of a sudden they're outside of the relegation zone. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Will they do it? Gee, you'd have to be pretty brave, I think, to put any money on them, but stranger things have happened.
Of course. And Michael, we must thank you for joining us here on MPL Extra. Obviously, you give us a fantastic insight every time you come on and speak to us a little bit about what's happening in Queensland. And once again, thank you.
No worries, boys.
That was Michael Flynn from Football Click giving us a full review of everything happening in MPL Queensland over the weekend. A very exciting weekend coming up. Obviously, the top 6 all face off against each other heading in to the weekend. But we're going to take a short break here on the MPL Extra. After this, we're going to speak to Angela Basich from the Women's Games, give us a full insight into everything of MPLW in Queensland. Back after this.
Football Extra with Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24/7 on the station which never sleeps. Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio. You're listening to NPL Extra on our brand new time slot of 6 p.m. on a Monday. That's right, we've pipped the Diegos here on the station. The rookies are running the asylum tonight. It's Athos Syrianos and Nick Debano. And we just spoke to Michael Flynn from Football Click over in Queensland.
Sure did.
And we continue our trip across the East Coast, speaking to Angela Basich from the Women's Game. Angela, Well, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me once again.
All good, all good. Well, the last time we spoke, I think it was on the back of Souths United defeating the Lions 2-1. And, you know, they've survived another tough challenge defeating Moreton Bay 2-1. And if you weren't convinced that Souths, you know, were the real deal, you are now.
Yeah, it was going to be a battle on the hands for sure. And Moreton Bay to score early was quite a shock to see. But yeah, Souths did battle back. They've got that experience in their banks and they came back in the second half for 2 goals. And well done to them. Credit to them for keeping up their top spot on the ladder.
And is this almost an honourable loss for Moreton Bay to keep Souths at bay with only 2 goals conceded?
Yeah, well, actually give them a lot of confidence. Going into the second half of the season, it's quite tight at the top. There are, and we'll probably get to that later in talking, there are 5-6 teams really battling it out for those 4 final spots. So going into the second half of the season, give them a lot of confidence to beat a lot of other teams, but also to try and get South once again.
And in relation to Moreton Bay's position on the ladder, there is a bit of a gap between them and the top two. But is this reflective of where they're at the moment?
Yeah, it's actually their first season back in the NPL Women's up here. They've had a bit of a break for the last few years, so they've really come back with a lot of vengeance, I guess. But yeah, it does kind of reflect where Souths and Lions are in women's football up here compared to Moreton Bay. But Moreton Bay aren't too far ahead of, say, the other two clubs involved with the final football battle.
Angela, it's Nick here, and maybe with the results here, and the Gap FC continue just to dominate sides at the moment. They won 12-0 on the weekend, but they've lost games to sides like the Lions and Moreton Bay. Are they more the flat track boys? They beat the sides, the lower sides comfortably, but they just can't seem to take that next step and beat the real contenders.
Yeah, the Gap's had a really interesting season. They have lost a lot of the players over to American colleges, so that's really hurt them. The Gap have been a formidable force in women's football up here. They've won two championships. They were undefeated one seat in 2016, I believe. I don't know if I got my dates correct. But yeah, this season they've lost a lot of players. They're trying to rebuild their squad with a lot of youth players that they have. The win over the Mudry Bar would give them a lot of confidence back. Greta Brody scoring those 6 goals, 21 goals in 12 games is really good for them. But going again in the second half of the season, they'll be looking to really fight against South and Lions and really pick up their speed against them when they face them again.
You're listening to NPL Extra with Athos Syrianos and Nick Dabana. We've got Angela Basic from the women's game on the line. And Angela, you spoke earlier about that real race for the top four. Out of Moreton Bay, Brisbane FC and even Mitchelton, who've made a late charge, who do you see wrapping up that fourth spot?
If results keep going the way they're going, I really do think Moreton Bay is going to wrap up that fourth spot. They are really going in second half of the season, really wanting to prove that they are one of those teams that can play football. And after being out for so long, I really think they have something to prove. So I reckon they'll make that last spot.
And Mitchelton, I think a side that you said told us to keep an eye on, they won their eighth game of the season defeating Gold Coast United. Have they almost timed their run to perfection, especially with that fourth spot up for grabs?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. At the start of the season, not many people knew much about them. They did beat a few teams, but coming in from the Brisbane Women's Premier League, it was kind of a lot of unknown stuff about that. So they've really timed their run to perfection going into the second half of the season. You start pretty much afresh going into the second half of any football season. It's time to really show your straps and show what you can do. And Mitchelton are really going to provide Moreton Bay with a headache going into those final few games in August.
Angela, Lions FC got another big win on the weekend as well, 7-0 over the Capalba Bulldogs. They're looking quite strong at this point of the season, obviously with Souths up the top of the table. Is there any indication that one side will pip the other? Obviously, we've got that 5-point gap. Are the Lions still in this with that game in hand?
It's going to be very interesting. They do have to play each other again. In the first battle, South did take it out 3-1, which was last weekend. But they do have to play each other again, and it actually really could come down to that game of if Lions do also win their game in hand, it really could come down to that game of who's going to be the premiership winner. But, yeah, it's really interesting seeing the Lions. They've really got a skilled side. They have a lot of experience as well. But it is their first season with a lot of those players, so it'll be really interesting to see how they go.
And just looking across to next weekend, we see SWQ Thunder take on Souths United, a chance for Souths to really, again, solidify their position on top of the table.
Yeah, I do feel a bit sorry for South West Queensland Thunder. They haven't been having the best season. They've got a really young, youthful side, so it's all about building for them. But yeah, I do think South will be scoring quite a few goals against them with Aisha Nori and Amy Chapman up the front.
In terms of the Thunder, we're always looking for silver linings in teams like this, and considering they are such a young side, are there any youth players there to keep an eye on and maybe one for these top sides to maybe poach in the coming seasons?
It's really hard to say. When I was watching them on the weekend at Pride, there was a few shining lights in the team. But in saying that, it's really hard to judge them against a side like Pride, who were also having an off day in football, even though the score was 7-1 in the end. It'd be really interesting to see them against a side who was, say, more playing to the same kind of football that they're playing to. Their goalkeeper really did stand out, I will say that, though. And they do have some really quick wings, but otherwise, it's really hard to say if there's anyone to really keep an eye on with the way they're playing at the moment.
Angela, the Gap also have a big game this week, and they play Brisbane Roar in quite a big game for both sides. How do you see this one going?
Well, unfortunately, that game has been rescheduled, which is quite unfortunate, but which will now be played back and will be pushed back to July. But when they do get around to that, and hopefully Roar have a few more wins under their belt and same view of the Gap, I really think Roar will push the Gap once again. The last time these two played each other, it was quite a battle. Roar really did scare the Gap. So when they do play each other again, I think the Gap will be very wary of how good this young Roar side is. They're only under 17, so it'll be really interesting.
In terms of a lot of the rescheduling of the games, does that impact the players at all? I mean, if especially towards the top, if 1 week hasn't played in a few weeks, then they're coming into play. Does it impact them at all on the field?
It's more so really impacts. Going into this end of this season, you do get more injuries to players, meaning you really got to try and change your squad around. But also if they're midweek games, you got to back up from a weekend game, then re-back up again the next week. So it really does put a lot of pressure on these players to be really fit and at their best for the competition. And yeah, going in, there's going to be a lot more rescheduled games, unfortunately. So this really could punish a lot of teams.
Well, it's certainly a week to keep an eye on. It's unfortunate that Gap Brisbane Roar game got postponed to later in July. I think that's one that many will be excited about. But Angela, thank you very much for joining us this week on NPL Extra. You got your prediction right against for the Lions game. Were you able to predict the result between in the Moreton Bay game?
Okay, so Tabalaba haven't been going very well, so I do think Moreton Bay will wrap this up quite nicely with a 4-0 win.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah,
4-0. Let's say 4-0. Let's say 4-0.
Were you able to predict South beating them 2-1?
I thought South would actually score a few more goals, but surprise, wow. As I am. I'm glad to be surprised by that, though.
Brilliant.
There you go. An expert tipper there. Well, Angela, thank you very much once again for joining us, and we look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you very much, guys.
That was Angela Basic from the women's game, talking everything NPLW over in Queensland. It's heating up there, especially as we get into the latter parts of the season. Souths and Lions are probably the two teams really that are the benchmark, but as we saw Moreton Bay, they are one of the informed teams, as well as Mitchelton. So that's going to be a tight race to wrap up that top four.
Now, Athos, any games that you're excited about heading into next weekend of any of competition?
That's a very good question, Nick. I'll leave that to you to answer first.
Well, to be honest, I'm actually really excited about Friday night's game. We've got Avondale versus Heidelberg down here in NPL Victoria. Good chance for Heidelberg to really close the gap. They've got two games in hand. They get a win over Avondale. I could see them really starting to put the pressure on Bentley, because they win both those games in hand regardless of the result on Friday night. Obviously, depending if Bentley don't get the win, they can go top of the table. So a lot going in their favour, but it'll be an interesting turnout.
It sure will. Friday night under lights then. The game that I'm looking forward to is, and I'm sure the Metro Stars will be keeping a keen eye on, is Campbelltown City when they come up against Adelaide City. It's second versus third. Only a point separates them. Campbelltown, along with the Comets, who have got a tough game themselves. Campbelltown are probably the informed team of the competition.
I think so too.
A win will really tell us a lot about those two. But until then, it's
goodbye from us.
This has been NPL Extra.
We must thank our guests. We had Damid Kulash, who was absolutely brilliant. We had Michael Flynn.
Angela Basic, and of course Rob Greenwood from South Australia. Nick, thank you very much. You've done a great job.
Absolute
in your
pleasure for joining
first episode.
Yeah, absolute pleasure joining you for this. And we'll both be back on Friday for the FNR preview show at 3 PM. And have a good night in football.
But until then, you'll catch us on Friday, as Nick said, on the same FNR time, same FNR channel.
Football Extra with Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.